I wish you were never born. I hate you. Imagine hearing that from your mother every day of your life. It doesn't seem too loving, does it? What if your mother was hooked on crack and got drunk all the time? What if she left you and your brothers and sisters with strangers so she can get high and drunk? Imagine yourself 14 or 15, and everyone around you keeps telling you that you're going to end up just like your parents, no good pieces of trash. You promised yourself that you won't do anything like they did, but lately you seem to be slipping into becoming what your parents are. One day, you realize you don't have to take being smacked around every day and yelled at for things that aren't your fault. You think to yourself, wow, I don't have to put up with this anymore. And you start to lash out at anyone and everyone who crosses your path. You've shut yourself for so long, and now it's all coming out in a huge ball of rage which you can't control. What kind of a way is that to live? Hopefully you haven't had to deal with that, but lots of kids today have to. We've all seen those kids walking down the street, haven't we? You know what ones I'm talking about. The ones that wear the weird clothes and listen to that strange music. It's not even music, right? It's racket. You know those kids aren't right. Same goes for those other ones. They don't know how to behave, and they listen to that other kind of music. That's not even music either. It's only fast talking. You don't want your kids hanging around them. You can't stand the thought of your child being a part of the bad crowd. I don't believe in bad crowds. I don't think Jesus did either. If you look at it this way, well, he knew a lot of prostitutes, tax collectors, cheaters, and other people who weren't so high on the social scale. If you think about it, he was really part of the bad crowd. I mean, he had a few fishermen and one tax collector for his disciples. If Jesus came back to earth as a child born into a broken family with no father and a mother who was hooked on crack, would you believe he was the Savior? Or if he dressed weird and listened to strange music, would you think he was the Savior then? Ask yourself one question. What if Jesus came back like that?
Imagine you're driving down Rayford Road in a traffic jam on a Friday afternoon. It's about 5:30, and you just want to get home, kick your shoes off, watch some television, and start your weekend of relaxation. While stopped at a traffic light, you notice a man with torn clothes, packed with dirt, toes sticking out of his shoes, and a face that looks like it hasn't been washed in over a week. You watch him walking closer to your car. Do you act normal, or do you lock your doors and roll up your windows? Do you wish he would stay away from your car, or do you even think twice about his presence? You notice he is holding a sign with misspelled words that says, "We'll work for food. Please help." What do you think after reading his sign? Do you think, maybe I could help him in some way? Or do you think, yeah, sure, you don't want to work, you want a handout? As he gets closer, do you keep your eyes fixed on the light, or do you allow yourself to look at him and have compassion for him? Do you think to give him the dollar you are saving for a soda later? Or do you just ignore him? Hey, somebody else can deal with it. As a society, we are taught to judge people based on appearance. It is sometimes hard to feel compassion for those who do not have many advantages. What would it hurt to show compassion for the man by driving him to a shelter, or giving him a couple of dollars, or even buying him some food? In the book of Matthew, Jesus told his followers that only those who offered him clothes when he was naked and food and drink when he was hungry would inherit his kingdom. They did not understand this because they had never seen him naked, hungry, or thirsty. He explained that what they did to the least of his brothers, they did to him. All of us can be considered the least of Jesus' brothers. The beggar is also. Jesus wants us to help him out. The beggar deserves to have clothing, food, and a place to stay, just like we do. Jesus is calling us to give him those things that we consider essential and take for granted. Throughout the Bible, Jesus tells his followers that they must act like children if they want to inherit his kingdom. Let us consider the compassion children have for others. Children often do not think twice about helping someone who is hurt or showing love to others. Hate is a learned behavior. Growing up in a society such as we have, many children are taught that it is all right to laugh when someone gets hurt or pick on the person who is different. However, these are behaviors that they have learned by watching adults and older children. If we all could have the innocent view of children, maybe that beggar wouldn't have to beg anymore. I remember when I was in fifth grade, There was a girl whose family didn't have a lot of money. I noticed the dirty clothes she seemed to wear every day, and the fact that her glasses were scratched and broken. I was worried about this girl because I knew I had so many things that she didn't have. I had clean clothes and new glasses. I told my mom about her, and we bought her some nice clothes, which my teacher gave her. I also prayed for the girl. I prayed God would give her family what they needed. If the whole world had the compassion for the less fortunate that young children have, our world would be much better. Jesus wants all of us, who call ourselves his followers, to have the compassion that will reach out to a stranger and find out what their needs are, while putting our own needs on hold. Now imagine that that beggar actually called himself the Son of God. What if he said he was Jesus and performed miracles? Would you still believe in God? You may think, how could Jesus be so poor? Or why would Jesus sink to such a low level on his return? Remember, the Bible says Jesus is coming back to reclaim his kingdom on earth, but only God knows all the details of his coming. Can you see yourself worshiping a Jesus in torn clothes and shoes that barely have a soul left? I know I would much rather imagine my Jesus, my Lord, as a successful businessman with neatly combed hair and an Armani suit. Could we as a society actually open our hearts to a man dressed in rags that was doing miracles and claiming to be Jesus? Could you actually give your heart over to a man with such appearance? Because we don't know what God has planned, one day, if we are still on this earth when Jesus comes again, we may have to. Now let's all think back to the very familiar Christmas story. Mary and Joseph were traveling and had to have their baby boy, the Son of God, in a stable. God wanted his son to be born in such a humble place. It was also God's plan for Jesus to live such a humble life. Jesus' birth was set as an example to the world of the way we must act if we want to inherit his kingdom. Jesus could come again as anything. Why wouldn't he choose to be a beggar? If Jesus were a beggar, would you help him? We all need to examine our hearts and find out if we believe that we can accept Jesus as whatever he may be. Remember, Jesus accepts us no matter what we have done or who we are. He may come again as royalty, or he may come as a lowly beggar. No matter what, we must remember that Jesus knows our hearts and sees how we treat others. The way we treat other people and the way we live our lives will either allow us to enter or forbid us entry into the Lord's kingdom. And to quote the song, "What if Jesus came back like that? Where would he find your heart is at?"
What if Jesus came to your school? Would we let him in or would we turn our backs? Just like the song says, Jesus can come back as anything. A hobo who jumped off an old freight train in the rain. Even a little girl who was born 2 months early who is hooked on crack. Well, would anyone think that he would come back as a teacher, a friend, or could he come back through a letter? Most people would say no, it's just a sheet of paper. Well, to you, that just might be what a letter is. But a letter comes from a tree, and a tree has feelings, such as the burning bush. Yes, God talked through that tree and gave it feelings. Even though God doesn't talk through all trees, they have feelings too. When you're writing a letter to a friend, you're putting your feelings into that letter, onto that sheet of paper. My what if story is about what if Jesus came to your school. Job 6:11. What strength do I have that I should still hope? What prospects that I should be patient? Psalm 94:17. Unless the Lord had given me help, I would soon have dwelt in the silence of death. You are probably wondering why I read these two verses. I'm going to be telling you a story about a girl who felt exactly the same way. She had no strength or hope, and if the Lord hadn't helped her, she would probably be dead. As I read the verses again, listen carefully as I go into my story. Job 6:11. What strength do I have that I should still hope? What prospects that I should be patient? Psalm 94:17. Unless the Lord had given me help, I would soon have dwelt in the silence of death. I remember a girl who hated her life and wished it would end. I remember her passing notes with a friend in her fourth period math class. She kept writing, "I hate my life. I want to die." Later that day, she stuffed the note in her locker. The thought of suicide went through her head all the time, just pulling a knife to her wrist. Grades dropped and friendships became distant memories. A few days later, the girl was at her locker after fourth period. As she watched the note fall to the ground out of her locker, nothing came to her that said, "Pick it up. Someone will find it." But no, all that came to her was, "Leave it there." How many people pick up notes off the ground and read them? Just leave it there. Later that day in sixth period, a phone call came and they asked for that girl to go to the guidance office. When she walked in, she saw a note that looked real familiar. It was that note, the one with suicide written all over it. As he talked to her, she realized that a teacher found it, and the name Jason popped up a lot. He went out with the girl's friend that she was passing notes with. Jason was the one who recognized the handwriting. See, what happened was the teacher talked to all the Jasons in the seventh grade, and that one just happened to recognize the handwriting. As the guidance counselor called her parents, the girl cried. She couldn't believe that she could think such a thing. Her parents showed up later and heard the news and couldn't believe it. Later at home that night, she was comforted by her parents and sister. They took her to counseling and she went to see her preacher. Yes, the girl even went to church. Every Sunday, she believed in Jesus, attended youth every week, sung in the choir, and went to Bible study. Yet she still felt like she didn't belong. Do you notice how she had no hope, no strength, and no life whatsoever? That's exactly what those two verses said. The young girl has survived that major fall. She's very happy that she is alive and that she didn't kill herself 2 years ago. As I sit in my ROTC class writing this sermonette, I let my friend read it, and he is astonished at the question that I ask him. Do you know who the girl is in the story? When he says no, I'm ready to tell him and you. The girl in this story is me. I am the girl who believed in God, attended youth, sung in the choir, and went to God's scenes, but felt that I didn't belong. I'm the girl who hated her life. I was in the seventh grade at Lewis Chapel Middle when this happened. I'm now in ninth grade at 71st High School. Do you realize how many years would have been gone if I did kill myself? Do you realize how many lives I would have hurt besides mine? What if Jesus did come back to school that day? Or maybe I should reword that. Jesus did come to my school that day. One thing I didn't mention in my story is that I thought I threw that letter away. What if Jesus did a miraculous miracle and somehow pulled the letter out of the trash to make it fall on the ground? That teacher didn't have to look at that letter, but Jesus came through her and told her to read the letter. Jesus came through my friend Jason to recognize that handwriting. As the thought has now left my mind, I wonder why I could think such a thing. A few weeks ago at God's Scenes, I opened the Bible and said that I wanted to read Psalm 37. Why? I don't know. But as we've read, I found quite a few verses that meant a lot to me. But one stuck out like a sore thumb. It was Psalm 37:7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. At first, I didn't quite know what it meant to me. But when I was asked to do a sermonette, I was searching through the Bible and I looked at this verse again. As I read it what seemed like a million times, it finally came to me. For God is always with you. All the time. Even when bad thoughts go through your head, if you wait patiently for him, he will help you out. No matter what the thought is. This verse came to me just in time for the youth service. Is it a sign? When I was a little girl, I used to think that God was real, but maybe some of the things that people said happened, they might have just made them up. But while I grew older, I changed my perspective of this. I really do think Jesus can come back, and that he does. Not quite like the Bible says. It depends on the way you look at it. But God can come back through anyone and anything. While I was on the phone with one of my closest friends, he was helping me find a verse. As I searched my teen Bible, I came onto an insert on death. It had a verse at the bottom from Revelation. As I told my friend, he's like, no way. I'm on that same verse in my Bible. Is it another sign? I believe it is, and so does he. So I think I should leave you with this. From Revelation 21:4, death is an enemy, but when Jesus returns, God has promised to wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.